This is episode number 49 with Willie Murdaugh.
I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream. And they fill it with their secrets.
It's called Inception.
Hey, what's up, Internet? My name is Hadlin, and this is the Cerebral Mind Control Podcast, where I dive deep into the minds of high performers and figure out how they got to that point and how I can learn from them and implement it into my hypnosis, my magic, my mentalism, and my speaking businesses. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know it sounds quite selfish that I'm learning from all these people, but guess what? You get to learn alongside myself, and I hope you enjoy the ride. We have episodes coming out weekly, and this episode is brought to you by Hadlin Entertainment, Canada's one-stop shop for premium corporate quality entertainment services, ranging from aftergrads to corporate events to festivals to fairs to birthdays. You know, you name it, weddings, everything. You know what? We do everything. But without further ado, let's get right to it, guys. Willie Murdaugh is our athlete that we are interviewing and learning from today. He's an amazing person. I see him out and he always has a smile on his face. He's just such a happy guy. And then when you see him on the court, oh my goodness, he's so good. He was on the 3-on-3 team from Saskatoon who have toured the world. He played with the Lakers. Oh man, okay, this guy, you guys, are just prepare yourself. Make sure that you have your full time and attention to this episode because you are going to enjoy and learn a ton just like I did. And I've already implemented a lot of what he has taught me through this conversation, through this podcast episode. I'm recording this from Florida currently, but we'll get to it. You'll understand more of what I learned from him shortly. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Willie Murdaugh.
What's up, man? Hey.
What's up, man?
Thank you for coming out.
Thanks for having me. Thanks
for
having me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, it's been a bit. We've been trying to set this up.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to take this opportunity to really pick your brain. You're an inspirational guy, and you recently just retired?
Right? Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because it was just from the FIBA 3x3. I only played 2 years. I played 2014 and 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. And I told him, because I think I'm the oldest guy on the circuit. That's what it was.
Right.
And I told him, like, this was the last year I was going to play. I said, I'm done. This is the last season. Like,
okay.
Do you know what I mean? It was fun. So that's why they kind of made the video, which I didn't know they were going to make the video. They just called and told me they wanted to make it, because I was surprised too.
Right.
But yeah, so it was an honor, though.
Nice. That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
So, man, you're always such a happy guy. Like, every time I see you, you always have a huge smile on your face.
Right.
And you're, like, you're very warm and welcoming to other people.
Right, right.
How are you always so happy?
You know what, Anthony, to be honest, like, it's just, it's just energy, man.
Yeah?
I pick up on energy.
Okay.
If the energy is good, then my energy is good. Like, I'm pretty much a happy person. Like, I'm not really, you know, the type of guy that always mad or, you know, stay angry at people and stuff like that. That's not my nature, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So this is me all the time, pretty much.
Awesome. And do you bring that with you into, like, the court and stuff?
You know what? I do. Now, but then I do get intense too now.
Right.
Yeah. And those who have played with me,
they know.
Michael Vingley, it's huge. You know, Michael Liefers, Nolan Brudel, they know exactly. But yeah, I'm usually happy, you know, laughing guy, but when I'm on the court, the intensity just changes.
Right.
Yeah, I do a little, something different happens then.
You go into a different zone.
Oh, for sure. For
sure. Is there like a warm up that you have to do for your mind to get
you
into
what?
That?
To be honest, mentally I've been playing for a long time, Anthony, so that's why it's kinda, for me, it's easy to turn that on. Like, I'm 48. I'll be 48 in August.
Yeah.
So, I know, I've been playing
ball. You don't look 48, man. Well,
thank you. I've been playing ball a long time, brother. Like, a long time. Like, and when I'm sure we'll probably get into how some of that started and the way I began it. You
know. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly where I would want to go next. So,
right. Maybe
for those that don't know who you are,
right,
that are listeners of this podcast, why don't you give us your background?
Okay, well, this is a part of my background. A lot of people know me from just when I came here and played basketball with the Cape Breton Breakers. And that was, I came here and I was 23 or 24. I'm still a baby. Okay. But I'm going to go back. I was born in Hampton, South Carolina in August 1969. Basketball, I was always into sports. You know what I mean? Like, my story would be kind of like, to be honest, it's almost like, you know how some people's story is almost, you can make a movie out of it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, mine begins with this. The poor kid, you know what I mean, in the South.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of things going on, no money, but end up somehow, God blessed me with the talent.
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like I said, I grew up pretty poor, never had anything. But I was always a great kid. I was always a good kid. And I was taught well. My grandma, everyone around me, my uncles, do you know what I mean? I think they saw stuff in me when I was little. And they used to always say to me, oh, you know, never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came from. But, and then end up starting playing basketball. I played football. I was pretty good at football. Some of the guys, people, when I go home, still think I should have played. I was like, well, I didn't know I was going to be 6'2". Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was pretty good. I played, like I say, football and baseball. End up sticking with basketball. And that was my thing. And again, like, you start out with you go to the park, you come home from school, everybody's excited. You go to the park, you got the older kids out. Do you know what I mean? You know, I want to play, but I'm the little guy. You know, I'm younger. You know, so the guys won't let you play, even though you try to get on the court. So what they do, they take your ball, they kick it on the other end of the court, that type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so the only time I got to play was when my uncle came. So when my uncle came, then the older guys would let me play. But that'd be the only time I could play. And it was just, I could not wait to beat the guys at the park. Do you know what I mean? Those are the guys that I wanted to beat.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's so different. Like, here in Canada and in the States growing up like that, it's so different when it comes to basketball. Because I learned everything from the park. I never played organized basketball until the seventh grade.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just at the park. You know what I mean? There's no tryout. There's a tryout. There's no, if you don't make it, you can go play in this division. When I grew up, you try out. If you didn't make it, that's it. And the only place you can get better is at the park. If you wanted to do that, right? So those who wanted to do that would go work on their game and try to make it next year. Like, there was no playing in no other division, nothing like that. If you wanted to play on the team, you had to make it, man. So I think my mentality came from that. And then that transferred to high school, because it was so competitive.
Right.
There's lots of players, man. Like, don't think, but there's always something that separates players. You know what I mean? That's the thing that some people have to realize. Like, everybody is, sometimes a lot of guys are good, but there's something special about another one that makes him better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like I said, my career started there. A lot of people, like I said, I grew up from my neighborhood watching, as far as like basketball, a lot of hometown guys that I knew when I were younger. And a lot of them, after I got older, started taking me on their wings, and I started playing, and, you know, started getting better, and I grew, because I was very short. I was short for the longest time, man. Oh my goodness, it was so crazy. I could not wait till I could grow, like I started growing. Like, I was the shortest guy up until the 10th grade, man.
Oh yeah, man,
I was short.
Really?
So yeah, it was crazy, yeah. And wow. I hit it later, yeah. I was so excited, man, holy. And then by that time, like, I grew, and I made the senior team in my ninth grade year, but I quit because I wasn't playing that much. So I went back down and played JV. And then my sophomore year, I made it. My coach back then, too, to tell you the story, holy, I know how I am here. People see how I am because I've coached, too, so I'm sure we'll get to that. My coaching was old school coaching, man. And when I say old school, Anthony, I mean he come pick us up for training. Like, we take us out in the country. Everybody get out the truck, and we jog behind the truck for, I don't know, as many miles as the last guy can go. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the old school stuff, right?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? You know, we're out on the football field doing suicides. Like, I remember my 11th grade year, we were training. We only lost one game that year. And I remember the first game we lost, it was to Hilton Head Island. And I remember we lost by a buzzer beater, man.
Oh.
Our coach, the next day, like, it was so quiet on the bus. He was one of those guys. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's no talking. Like, if you get your butts kicked, sometimes you don't get your butt, even if you win. But definitely when you lose, man, you could hear a pin drop on that bus. And the girls' team is on there, too. And I knew the next day we were going to get it. And guess what? We ran so hard, man. We did suicides on the football field. Like, it was so crazy. Football stands. It was so intense. We practiced on the weekends. Like that was, it was very grueling, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you wanted to be on that team, like, those are things you would go through, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And hindsight being, he was a great coach. And also one of my mentors, too, because we ended up, we lost in the finals in the 11th grade. Then we came back my 12th grade year, and then we won it. You know what I mean? But the training started. It's not just doing basketball season. That's right. What it is down there. Like, you play all the time. Do you understand what I'm
exactly,
saying?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's the thing I find different here is there are basketball. There are good basketball players, and there are few that have the attitude and the confidence to go further, but it's just the way things are here.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. You want me to go into college now? Now I'm not.
For sure,
just
man.
Keep going away.
Yeah, just keep going, man. Okay. I want to know it all. So, okay. Yeah, so right okay. After high school. So
right.
Hold on a second, though. So with the high school.
Right.
Was there a lot of competition? There was a lot of competition,
oh,
right?
For sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes,
and
sir.
Do you think that, you know, losing
uh-huh.
in grade 11 helped you to win in grade 12?
You know what? I think, to be honest, we'll go further. We'll go earlier than that. I think it started with the competitive in football, because I played little league football too up until the ninth, tenth grade.
Okay.
So I played that as well. Same things. So competitive. You know, I mean, you just try. Everybody can't make the team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's always a tryout, and I always wanted to make the team. Like I was hungry for that then. So I think it might have started just being competitive and at the park, man. It had to be at the park, because like I said, sometimes there are days when we'll go out and we'll play a game, and I'm the shortest guy, and it's like. 8 or 9 guys playing, and we playing what they call American 21, and it's like 9 guys in, and I'm the shortest guy, and I want to get in this game. And in this game, it's like this: if one guy gets to 15 before you get to 8, you can't get in the game. So that's the pressure behind this. Like it's right. And it's a whole bunch of kids. So
now American 21,
yeah,
that's like everybody versus everybody, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes,
you're fighting for rebounds, yeah. And
but yeah. In ours, we make it where if you don't score over 8, you're eliminated. You're by the other guy gets 15. Yeah. So my thing, I'm the littlest guy, Anthony. So I'm waiting around. All I can do is wait for rebounds, long rebounds to go out, and so I'm quick to it. So my only thing is I have to make these shots. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was pressure then, man. Like, because if I don't make them shots, I'll never get in a game, because I make the shot, and I usually get 2 free throws. Do you know what I mean? So it was pressure then, man. But I won it. I enjoyed it, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Man, it's a really cool upbringing story. But yeah, let's get into the college game.
Yeah, okay. So now we, my 12th grade, and I wasn't even thinking about college, to be honest, like that. My uncle had went to university, but I wasn't, no one in my family or immediate had gone to school, like except for my uncle on my dad's side. So I was never even thinking about like college, man, like to be honest. I didn't really think about that till the 12th grade when my coach started talking to me about it, like, and I'd get these letters and stuff. But I really didn't think about it. And then, you know, we started talking, and my coach said it would be, you know, it'd be a good thing for me. So I ended up taking an offer, but there were many offers. But I think he and I talked, and we thought at the time that would be the best for me. And I went to a junior college. It was called North Greenville Junior College.
Whereabouts is that?
It's in South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. So it's a little junior. It's called. It would be a 2-year college. We call it junior college. Back then it was called junior college.
Okay.
So that's the first place I went. And then again, we start at the same thing. Now, if I didn't have this competitive nature and the will to compete and fight, Anthony, I wouldn't have made it, because not only did I go to school, but my other friend Maurice Walker, he went to the university. We both went to college, so they took both of us. He couldn't take it. He went home. I think he just got a little homesick. I stayed because it was like 4 hours away, and neither one of us had never really been away like that. But anyway, I ended up going there. After leaving, now this is the thing about junior college. Again, when I tell you about basketball there, it's on a different level. Everyone at junior college are all the all-state and all-star players from all their high schools as well.
Right.
So it's not just me. So you see what we're saying now? Now we got all the best again. Okay. So now I leave Hampton. You know, I'm the all-state player there. Maurice was all-state, my other the guy that went there. So we go there. Now again, you meet up with a whole bunch of all-state and all-star players again. Now, what separates you? Like, how do you make this team? Because the first time I got there, the first beginning of the season, the first 8 or 9 games, man, I sat on the bench. I was on the bench. Oh my goodness. I had never sat on a bench. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
So that was different. I had never sat on the bench at all. So that was different for me.
And what did that do? Did that, ooh, that like, man, was that detrimental to your, like,
you know what? Offense? You know what? It was a little bit, Anthony, but you know what I did? This is what I did. I don't recommend everybody doing this, but this is what I did. Because I used to practice hard every day, and I couldn't understand what it is, you know, or why I wasn't getting any minutes. Like I'm saying, sitting on the bench, man, not even getting in, man. Like, yeah, that was tough for me. But anyways, I finally asked the coach. I was like, Coach, like, what can I do to get some playing time? He was like, well, you know, Willie, I think you need to work on your catch and shoot. I think, yeah, catch and shoot. I said, catch and shoot. I said, okay, coach. So that, you know, in my mind, I say, so I'm gonna work on this stuff. But here's the thing: I could shoot before I went there. That's just crazy. I could shoot the basketball before I went to the junior college, right?
Right.
But so I don't know what happened in between. I think I kind of lost my confidence a little bit because of not playing and not figuring out what it is that I was doing to why I couldn't get minutes. So he finally told me, worked on that. Ninth game, I think it was, or whatever. One night he put me in. Play phenomenal as usual, and then just started from there. Yeah. And then awesome. We end up in junior college, we end up going and make it to the playoffs twice. We lost in the playoffs again. Now junior college, I go to another university. This is called University of Spartanburg right now. That's what it's called now. Back then it was called USCS Spartanburg.
Okay.
University of South Carolina, Spartanburg. But now they call the USCS Spartans. They're Division I. When I first went there, they were Division NAIA. And then we went Division II.
Okay.
Now they're Division I.
Okay.
My university where I went. So anyway, I got a ride there.
No. Sorry, I just don't know. Is Division I's the top, right?
Yeah, it's higher. It's Division I. There's Division II. There's Division III. NAIA.
Okay.
That's kind of how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So... And here's the thing with this. When you go to junior college, again, I like to explain things. Like a lot of the players are Division I players. But some, for some reason, didn't go to school. Some, their grades. Some just looking for, didn't get the offers.
Exactly.
Some fell in the cracks. Yep. Do you know what I mean? That's how it is. Mm-hmm. That's what a junior college is about. And so I was one of the guys, I think I kind of got missed because I didn't get the offers that I should have gotten at the time. But anyways, on to USC Spartanburg. Get a full ride there. They give me 3 to graduate. Again, go to another program. I think I'd already made my track just because I've been scouted already, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, having to fight hard tooth and nail to make this team because that's why they came to get me, right?
Yeah.
So that was okay. So I was starting right away. First year there, we end up making again to the playoffs. We won the district. We won the conference. We lost in the finals. That year, I think I was I broke the record in steals.
Nice.
Yeah, points and stuff like that. You know, all of us, I was in the Hall of Fame at my school now, USC Spartanburg. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's called USCS Spartan. So I got put in the Hall of Fame there. But we ended up losing in the finals in my junior year, my senior year. We made it again to the playoffs, to like the Sweet 16, I think it was. And we lost again. So I was still devastated because, again, I've gotten so close. And the only one I won was the high school in 87. But I've been close in all the others, right?
Yeah. You know,
so. But yeah, and that was good. That was a great experience as well, too. And the thing about basketball there, like the university, like the main thing was academics, and then basketball, and that's what they tell you from the beginning. Like there's nothing else you're gonna do. These are your loves. Do you know what I mean? And again, you know, you got study hall, you have tutors, you have all those things. Like I say, it's a lot of stuff is. It's pretty much what some movies, if you've seen any of the movies that has to do with sports and blue chips and all that stuff, yeah, that's a lot of that stuff is true.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff is true. But it was a great experience. I took sociology there. I didn't graduate because now I left again playing basketball. So now this is my last year. I end up finishing the season and they allowed me one more year to go back to school to graduate. But what I did instead is I started pursuing professional basketball. So I started my classes, which was silly, and dropped them in the middle. I know. I started playing professional basketball. It is what it is. But anyways, and then I started playing professional basketball.
Nice.
And the whole thing started again, Anthony. Every team that I made from the beginning of my career, I always had to make it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like every professional team that I first try out for, I always had to do extra to make it. But no one ever wanted to cut me because I was good enough, but maybe I wasn't the big name player. And I came up with a lot of guys that when I came out, there was a lot of NBA players, man, when I came out of school. Like, it was tough. It was tough when I came out of college with NBA players. I played with lots. And just to throw a note, a guy, Sean Tyson of mine, he played with, where he comes from, he's surrounded by a bunch of NBA players that he grew up with. Do you know what I mean? But anyways, it was a good experience. And I think most of my intensity and nature also, like I say, started from when I was younger, and it just carried on because I didn't want to go back home either. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nothing home. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm saying, my story is almost like you get out of there, you don't want to go back.
Exactly.
You know? And you got the same, you know, I got the same friends when I go home. You know, some of the fellas doing the same thing. You know,
if
what
you
mean?
Go back, it's like you failed or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it was, you know what I mean? And I had a little pressure on me, right? Because you know, I was the guy. You know what I mean? For my family, I would be that guy. Do you know what I mean? I'd be that kid that, like, you know, like, you know, son, you know. I'm the one gonna do things right, you know. So it was pressure on me then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I had to take a different route to get where I wanted to be. Like I said, I got cut from the professional teams many times, and like I can talk about that too. So I know what it's like to see your name or hear a coach call you, officer, and tell you, you know what? Sorry, you know, it's a numbers game, Willie. You know, we like you, you know. But right now, hands are tied. You know, we got this guy, you know, John Crotty, you know, some guy from the, you know, from Division I school coming in, that type of thing, right? But anyway, I always stuck around, end up fighting my way, end up making a team. Always ready, always in shape, because I always stayed probably in that city where I was. They always kept me. They never sent me back home. So I'd stay there and practice with the team.
Okay.
Yeah. So I still was around, you know what I mean? And then finally, I get activated in a game or something, come out, play phenomenal. And then again, my coach deactivated me because we got these guys, right? That's just how. Then that's how it is. There's a lot of politics. There's politics in that too.
Yeah.
And that's how I started out my career, man, with all that. And finally, where I got to where I could just not have to worry about that. I had to worry about making no teams. Everybody I knew what's going on, regardless of whether I played Division I or not.
Right.
Yeah.
And so such an awesome story, man.
I got lost, brothers.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Oh man. Okay.
It's lost.
I want to learn. I want to learn. A bit about, I guess, like, how do you practice and how do you get better at something? Like, when a coach tells you, hey, you got to work on this, is it just simply doing it reps, or is there like a proper way to practice?
You know what? I think it's putting the reps in, but practice doing it the right way. You understand? Like, you know, people always say, you know, practice perfect and all that stuff, but you know what I mean? You got to practice the right way, because you can practice doing something wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's just me getting in the gym and my will to get off that bench, man. Yeah. Yeah, my will to get off that bench. I didn't like it. That's what it was. Well, I didn't like it. That was tough for me, Jack. Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, benching.
Mm-hmm. You know, and just training. Yeah. And sometimes you don't need – a lot of kids grow up today, man. It's so different today. Like, they all grow up wanting somebody to train them. I can't train you if you don't want to train. I'm not going to make you train. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, they're always seeking out, you know, if I get this trainer, I'm going to be – no, it starts with you. If you ain't ready, you can get the best training in the world. If you're not ready, you're not going to do anything. You won't get any better because you're looking for me to help you. That's not it. I'm trying to help you get better. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But you got to want it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't make you want it.
That's exactly it, man.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. It reminds me a lot of like when a client comes and they want to help quit smoking or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have to want to actually quit smoking before that. If it was like their husband or wife forcing them to come see me, then I just don't even do it because of course, they're just trying to be forced.
Yeah,
they
you know
don't want it.
No, you know it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that won't work.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you're like, it's just setting up for failure.
It's the same thing, bro. It's the same thing with this sports thing, man, and how you want to be with this thing, man. You know, like some people just, I use this expression here. I said, like, when you look at the NBA, when everybody is good, there's something that separates everybody. And I call it like this. I use pit bulls as an example. Okay. There's pit bulls that are game, and then you have normal pit bulls. Like, somebody can be a pit bull and be real tough, but then there are pit bulls that are game. A game pit bull and a pit bull is two completely different type of dogs. I don't know if you understand the word game. That means when they're in the fight, in the scratch, when they're pit bulls fighting. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Those are game. The ones that fight are game pit bulls. The ones that don't fight and give up, they're not game. That's how I relate to basketball players when everybody's at the same level.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I try to break it down. Yeah. I try to make it easy for you to understand when I say.
For sure. You know. Now, how does someone become the game football or game pit bull?
Okay. Again. We start how I grew up. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to go through.
You got to be hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
Can you teach that to people?
Ooh. That's always, I've always had that question, because I say, that's like a kid that's really, really good, but he doesn't have that intensity or that fire. That happens lots too. And I've played with players throughout my career that had the gifts, the talent, everything, but he just didn't have that fire, that effort. It seemed like he just didn't work hard. So I had a conversation with him. I said, maybe if you would try harder, that's the difference between $40,000 and $60,000. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and I think he got offended because I saw what everyone else was seeing too. But I told him, your effort, man, it just doesn't look like you're playing hard. And sometimes I don't think you can give it to somebody, Anthony. That's tough, because sometimes it's in their nature, eh? I think it's just who they are.
Right.
Yeah. So when people want to, I don't know why it's not tough. I don't know why she just, that's just not who she is.
Right.
Yeah. She'd still be good.
Now, what if someone has that fire, but they're just, they don't have that talent? Can they still?
Okay. Now, that can take you, here's the thing. Here's something else too I realized too as I've gotten older. Sometimes there are people that are born with the gifts. I'll use basketball as an example. There's a lot of things that go into picking draft picks that people don't even understand. Do you know what I mean? It's not just the numbers that they put up. It's the size of their body. It's the size of their long. It's the length of their arms.
Okay.
It's their height. Do you know what I mean? It's their speed. It's their quickness. It's a whole bunch of things that go into that. You know what I mean? It's not just he's got a lot of points. So sometimes there's a limit, because some people are just blessed with longer arms,
right,
bigger hands. So I think you can always work to become, you can always get better, but it's not going to say you'll ever be as good as this person because he's just more talented.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you stop working to achieve that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree too. It makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. And okay. So after college, and you start into the professional realm.
Yeah, yeah. It took me to Canada. I got here. Exactly. Okay. Well, after I played in the States with, they call it North Greenville Spinners. I never had an agent too. I got to throw that in there. I never had an agent. So a lot of times when you start trying to pursue professional basketball, it's good to have an agent.
Right.
I never had one.
Because then they're vouching for you. And
right. So somebody can sell for you. And I'll get to these stories about why it's good to have an agent, because some things happened to me throughout my career that I had no control of because I didn't have an agent. And we'll talk about politics again.
Okay.
But anyways, I never had an agent. So I got on teams by word of mouth. So the guy I played with North Greenville told the guy in Cape Breton about me. So that's how I got there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's how I got there. Just because I was a good kid, man.
Just
I was
from
a good kid.
Hustling and
yeah,
just
yeah. You could see it, because every time I get in, I get excited, Anthony.
Yeah.
I used to always make something happen in the games. Not even about scoring. Like, I did all the other things, man. All the intangibles that you don't see, like the loose balls. You know what I mean? The hustle here. You know, the passing lane. Like, all those things. The rebounding. You know, I did a lot of hard stuff, man. Like, you know. So I think coaches recognize that, and so does the players too. Because if I'm on the court with this guy, he know he can relax now, and I'm going to play the hardest D, and I'm going to get him easy shots.
Right.
Right. So, of course, you want – I like Murdoch on there, you know. So that's kind of how they were. So that's how I got there. And I went home for a while, ended up coming back. And I think when we came here, we ended up playing in the finals my first year. And I think we lost the second year because we didn't have any money. The league was defunct. It was so we were so bankrupt. I remember having checks trying to cash it. The bank would always say, "Hold up, just wait a minute, Willie," and they'd go in the back to see what's going on. Then they come back. So we, yeah, sometimes the checks didn't even cash, man. It was awful too. Those things happen too. That happened as well with that minor league basketball thing.
Damn.
Yeah, but I ended up coming here. Met a lady at the time. Ended up staying here.
And here in Saskatoon.
Yeah, here in Saskatoon. I stopped playing for a while, maybe 3 years, professionally, and was just here playing in money tournaments. And that's when I met Gary LaPlante, and we started Saskatchewan. He had the Saskatchewan Hoop Dancers, which is a little traveling basketball team.
You choose Saskatoon?
You know what? Saskatoon, why'd I choose Saskatoon? Anthony, that's still...
Because of all places, like, it's so cold here, man.
And I wasn't even used to it. It was a shock to my system.
I was minus 50.
Man, I was inside for 2 weeks when I first came here. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't even go outside. I was so shocked. I was telling people at the house, like y'all can't believe, man, you have to see all... I said, guess what? If you leave water in the car in a bottle, it would freeze. They're like, what? I'm like, oh, that's how cold it is. You can't leave nothing in the car. Like, it was crazy. You got to plug the cars up or they won't start. It was like, boy, are you crazy? Like, it was nuts. I couldn't believe it. That was intense, man. The 2 weeks when I first came here, I did not go outside. And like, I'm serious. Like, that was intense, man. I just came from where it was hot.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And like, if you stay outside too long, you could die. Like,
yeah.
Like, seriously.
I told everybody when I was jogging, my eyelids frosted up. That never happened in my life. Let's freeze up. That was crazy.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So eventually you got used to it, though.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But why did you choose Saskatoon? Like,
well, you know what? Like I said, at the time, I met a lady when I first came here. That's kind of how I ended up getting here. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So let it be known. That's what happened to me. I met a lady at the time, and then, yeah, we ended up.
Women have such a strong influence.
Yeah, yeah, they do. I think I'm not the only one with that story. I bet it's quite a few. It's a lot of guys probably listening. Like, man, yeah, I know that story all too well.
Yeah, my my dad lives here because of my mom.
Yeah, see, so I'll tell you, it'll be a lot of guys. That's a lot of guys. But yeah, no, and it was good. But after I got here, I stopped playing. For 3 years, I stopped playing it. And this was crazy. My dream, how about this? My dream was always to make it to the NBA. Like, you hear what I'm telling you? That was my dream. Sometimes the path that you want is not the one. You may have to take another route. So I'm going to tell you how this goes. This is how crazy this is. From me playing all this basketball and getting these awards and playing on these teams, I didn't get a chance then, but I had a coach who was coaching what they could call the CBA. The CBA, then I played in what they call the NDBL, and that was just the Canadian League. Then they had the CBA, which is in the States, was the Continental Basketball Association now, which is the NDBL. That's what it's like then. It was CBA, but now it's the NDBL. Anyways, a coach wanted to bring me there to Oklahoma. And that's when I was just 23, so that was a good time for me to go because obviously he saw something to invite me, right? Anyways, I didn't go. Some things happened, I didn't go, I ended up staying. So I stopped playing for 3 years. But in the meantime, I was still playing these money tournaments with the Saskatchewan Hoop Dancers. And Gary LaPlante did that, you know, Mike Tanton, I can go with the guys, Wayne Bennett, you know, Jody Glines, Kevin Granberg, you know, Corey Andrews, I can go on and on. Chooch, Michael Linklater, Rob St. Denis, Robin Daniels. But anyway, those are our team, and we traveled to these different tournaments in the States, and our team became well known because we were really good, and the team was all from Saskatoon.
Okay.
Like I said, it was me, Wayne Bennett, Ryan Lear, Kevin Granberg, Jody Glines, Mike Tanton, I say Chooch, Michael Linklater. That's what everybody call him. I call him Chooch. Anyway, I call him Chooch. And like I said, we end up traveling, man, in these tournaments, and was winning all these tournaments all across the States, man. And we went to one tournament in Lewistown, Montana, and there was a scout there. Obviously, I didn't know this, and like I said, our team was good. because everybody was always shocked when we come down, because we always come down like five guys, man, five or six guys. We like we had a ragtag team if you look at us. Like we only had like five, six guys. We always just get to the, when it started a game, because we had to drive I don't know how many hours. And if the guys hit us, they'd be dying laughing.
These tournaments, are they 5-on-5?
Yes, they're 5-on-5 tournaments, yeah. And they're all money tournaments.
And you had six players?
Man, we went to so many tournaments like that with six players. Yeah. Well, sometimes we had to pick a guy up from the town that we were going in. That's what we did in Lewistown. We went from here. And this is my team. This is my exact team. Dean Weeb, Kevin Granberg, me, Wayne Bennett, Ryan Lear, Gary LaPlante, and we picked up a guy from Lewistown, Montana.
Okay.
Added on our team. And he happened to be okay. I don't know how that worked. Anyway, we ended up playing well. I played phenomenal. The guys were amazing. The guys that went there, like that guy named Dean Weeb and Kevin Granberg, those guys, like no one ever saw Dean Weeb play. They only saw him play here at the U of S.
Yeah.
I saw Dean Weeb play with pros and was phenomenal, man. Like these guys I'm telling you about from Saskatoon, we went to these tournaments with all these, either they're Division I players or they're pro players. The guys from Saskatoon, we kicked their butts, man.
Nice.
Like it was amazing. Ryan Lear, amazing. Amazing. You had to see it. Kevin Granberg just completely dominated by himself. And Dean Weeb was just amazing on another, he was on another level. Anyway, we lost in the finals in this tournament. We didn't make it. But there was a scout there. I played well. I broke the scoring record or something. I had like 40 a game, I think. Ooh. In this thing. It was crazy, damn, man. I know. I couldn't even miss, brother. It was the craziest thing ever.
That's the best.
But I trained though. Like
yeah, of course.
I don't mean it like that. I put a lot of training into it though. I did lots of training on my own, man. Like this, I took lots of shots. I was always in shape, so I was ready for it. But it was just, it's just crazy that there happened to be a scout there. That's what's crazy. And then I got a call, so we leave, and people was telling me, word got out, yeah, Willie, there was a scout there, and I knew this guy named Glenn Sargent from Marathon Oil, another traveling team he used to organize. And he was telling me, yeah, you know what, there was a scout there. Actually, it was somebody else they were watching.
Okay.
Right. And then I ended up killing it. You know, guy came from Canada, from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. The whole team came down, just blew everybody out pretty much. Right. And then they were talking about all that, was the talk around the Canadian team, Saskatchewan Hoop Dancers. And then later on, I got home. I think maybe 2 or 3 days later. I thought he was joking, right? So I get a phone call, and it was Mitch Kupchak. And he was the general manager for the Lakers. Before, I thought the boys was joking with me. So I answered the phone. It was like, hello? I was like, hello? He said, this is Mitch Kupchak. I was like, mm-hmm. I said, who playing games? What's going on now? No, sir, I'm sorry. This is Mitch Kupchak for the Los Angeles Lakers. We heard about you in Lewistown, Montana. I'm trying to contain myself, brother. Do you know how heavy this is? For this to happen, Anthony, is
mind-blowing. You know?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah,
different routes. I got some more. That's what's crazy. For that to happen, for me just playing tournaments and not playing professional basketball at all, zero, just playing money tournaments, and for a scout to be at a tournament and call me, Mitch Kupchak, the actual general manager, call me at my house, is crazy. So I was like, I thought it was a joke. Anyways, we want to invite you down to our LA Summer League. So now I'm going down to Summer League, Anthony. I'm already 20. I'm 27. So I'm the oldest guy. I think I'm the oldest guy there. And this is the year that Kobe's first year. So this is Kobe Bryant's first year now, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So I go to the Lakers. You know, that's when Kobe's first year. We were all, you know, on the team, traveling, like, you know, hanging out, practicing together. But something else happened, too. This was crazy, Anthony. I can tell you about it right now. Sure. I wouldn't talk about it before.
Okay.
Now, while I'm in Long Beach, California, trying to for the Los Angeles Lakers, this was so crazy. Before that, I had trained so hard. Me and Chooch, you know what I mean? Like, we trained. And Sean Tyson, like we trained so hard before I went down, man. And I was ready. Don't you know, the third day, I think, of practice, I knew I set my alarm. We all had our own rooms. I didn't go out. I didn't do none of that. My thing was making this damn team. So this was my focus. But I would always do extra. Like, after practice, I'd go make a route, chart a route around, just do some jogging. I always try to jog like a mile or something. You know what I mean? I try to do like less than a 5 minute mile, just make up a trail. But that's it. My alarm didn't go off.
Oh no.
Look at me. Anthony, see my face?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. my alarm didn't go off. So now they call me, I finally get up, Willie, the bus is going, everybody's going. I'm sweating, I'm like, oh my goodness, what the heck? Had to take a taxi to the gym. Now I get to the gym, they already practicing. So there's Mitch Kupchak, there's Kirk Rambis, there's Larry Drew, there's the owner, the big guy, Jerry West, and Kirk Rambis. They were all in the gym, and then when I walk in the gym, everybody look at me like this, and I'm like, oh, there's like, my coach is like, he was like, just get in the lineup, and the guys just laughing, ha ha. Coping, I thought that was so funny. Anyways, so we start practicing, things good. Just a note, Kobe was good at 17 too. Just FYI. FYI, right. Just to let you know, and I know I was solid too, you know what I mean? Like, I'm confident, like, I knew for I was sure. Solid too. Like, I'm like, ain't no way no 17-year-old gonna get it on me. Like, I'm 27, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man, he was good, man. Anthony,
awesome.
He was,
that's awesome.
Yeah, he was great. He was great at 17. I couldn't even say nothing. I was like, at night in my room, I'm like, damn, he good, man. Very confident. He was very, very confident too, Jack. Very confident.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We chatted a couple times in the lobby talking about, I remember him talking about going to the prom with Brandy. I remember we talking about that, and he loved the East Coast music. And we just hang out and just talk about basketball pretty much. But he was very confident. Now, Anthony, okay, now let's go again.
Okay.
Now, I'm still there, and maybe 3 days later, again, my alarm didn't go off. So, Anthony, not only did I miss, no, Anthony, just wait. Cause it just gets better.
Okay.
I mean, this is the ticket, man. This is the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what you dream of, and you got there going a different route. And God still made a way for you to get there. Just hold up now. So I'm late again. And I get to the gym. And I wasn't doing anything. That's what's crazy. I don't know what the heck was going on. But my alarm didn't go off again. I'm late again. Same thing again. Everybody laughing. Okay. So now I'm frustrated because now we're playing games. Now we're playing these in the games. I think we were playing the Seattle Supersonics. And this one, Ray Allen. So this might have been Ray Allen's first year. It was Derek Fisher's first year. So these are all rookies right then. There was a guy called the Junkyard Dog then. Anyway, he ended up playing for Toronto. But there was a whole bunch of NBA players there. Shaq hadn't come yet because he was just in the trade from Orlando to Lakers. Right. So he didn't come yet. He wasn't there yet. But anyways. So we playing the Seattle Supersonics. I think it was Supersonics. Anyway, I'm sitting on the bench. I hadn't played that much. The one thing about this about me is I was never a point guard too, so I have to say that. So I was never like a point guard. But when I got to the NBA, they wanted me to be a point. And I was never really a point. Right. So I had to make this transition, right? So there I was like strictly point guard, you know, distributing where I'm like, I was like putting it, I like to score that thing. That's what I was scoring in. But anyway, I had to, you know, change my game and the fly in the pros, which you haven't from not playing.
Right.
I'm in Saskatoon. I didn't play no ball before I went there, except for the guys here. So I went from playing, trying to get ready here to the NBA with a bunch of NBA players, brother. Okay. Man. I was okay. I know. I was okay.
That's so crazy, man.
I know. And I was okay. I was in good shape, always the best out of everyone in shape. That wasn't an issue. None of that was ever an issue. But I think I got upset, and at 27 years old, I can't believe I became a victim of some peer pressure. That's what's even interesting. Because now I'm sitting between two guys. Okay, here's a guy. His name is Corey Blunt. Here's a guy. His name is George Lynch. They both are on the Lakers team. They both are on the team. Like they make money. They're millionaires, right?
Right.
And I'm between. I'm sitting between these guys. They're mad because Kobe was playing a lot of minutes. So, this is, you know, they were upset by that. And I'm sitting between them. He was like, yo, man, if you know what, man, I'm so mad about this. If your coach called me, I'm not even going in the game. And I remember Corey Blunt saying, yeah, forget this, man. Kobe playing all the minutes like that, man. I'm more. And I remember George Lynch saying, I'm more than just a defensive player. And if you know who George Lynch is, if anybody listening to this, they know who George Lynch is. They'll know that was his thing. That was the forte. He was a defensive player. But I'm sitting beside him, and he's trying to tell me he's not. He's more than that. So I sit in the middle. Anthony, here I am, a nobody. Okay? Got there. crazy how I got there, bro.
Yeah, like,
okay. I'm sure I was the only one. I know I was the only one probably in the whole summer league that got there from a doggone money tournament in Lewistown, Montana. Come on. So anyways, I'm sitting on this team, man, with all these dudes, and I'm sitting between these guys, and I'm mad because I haven't played much either. So I was like, man, if he called me, I ain't going in the game either. Oh my goodness. This is crazy. This is how this thing works. Listen to this. This is how this works. It was like 8 seconds left to go in the game. Guess who they called? Guess who Coach Larry Drew called to go in the game with 8 seconds? Who do you think he called? Me.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Just hold up. Now, I'm looking down at Coach and he's looking down at me. And as he said, Murdoch, and he waved to me to come in. Anthony, I just kind of sat back like this. I did not go in the game. I can talk about it now. Can you believe that?
Damn.
I know. What the hell was I thinking? Who gets caught up at 27 with peer pressure? Ain't that something?
Yeah.
But that's what I did. That was a decision I made, okay? That was a bad decision because now then I'm so upset and mad about not getting in. I didn't think, well, maybe, Willie, it was something about you that they wanted to see in the 8 seconds because you still played great defense. I wasn't thinking, brother. You understand? There was something about me that they wanted to see in 8 seconds because they could have called anyone. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I wasn't thinking at the time. Like I said, I was a great defender. I was in great shape. So I could see them using me then as practice, guarding Kobe.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Okay. But again, I didn't think that at the time. So I didn't go in the game. So then after I get back to Saskatoon, you know, people was asking me, well, what happened? My family in South Carolina, you know, they was asking me what happened. And I was like, I don't know. They just ain't called me yet. I didn't tell anybody yet what happened.
Right.
The truth, what happened.
Right.
Yeah, it took me a while. You know what? The truth finally came out. Actually, I told it at camps because I was doing basketball camps. So I tell that story. You know what I mean? That's you have to know that. If you ever been to a basketball camp that I've been at, you finally heard about the story. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what happened to me. But again, like I said, there's different routes. Again, now from that, I end up playing the FIBA 3x3 thing.
Right.
You know, after, you know, playing 5-on-5 or whatever, still here in Canada, I started with Michael Linklater, and started playing the FIBA 3x3. We became successful. Last year, we became successful again. We didn't win the major two. That was our main goal. He and I said, well, I'll retire. I said, we have to win this because I'm going to be done. I'm done because my body just, I can't take the pain after. Like for a week after I get back, and it's so crazy. I don't know if it's my adrenaline flowing, but when I get back from like a week or whatever, or 2 weeks away, man, I could barely walk for like 3 days, man.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. Jeez. So much pain. Yeah, and so Michael Chooch has seen me in pain, and I'm sure he has lots of stories because he was he and I shared a room many nights with me in there, in pain and cramping and everything else. But anyway, I played with some good guys. Like they're phenomenal players, and it was good just to play with guys and let people know what's Saskatoon. No one even heard of damn Saskatchewan. Even when I went to the Lakers, no one ever heard of Saskatchewan because that's where I was living. They couldn't even pronounce it. You know what I mean? But yeah. Just to put Saskatoon on the map, like I still think they're great basketball players here, and the guys I play with are definitely phenomenal. And I hopefully they have, you know, great success this year. Like I said, I'm done. I'm not playing anymore. But from that FIBA 3x3 thing, then there's a video, right? And now I go back to my coach that coached me in Dakota Wizards when I played in the CBA, Dave Yeager. I won a championship, two championships with him. And right now he's the head coach for Sacramento. I think he's the head coach for Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know him. And I like stuff like this. No one knows all this, some of this stuff. I mean, he and I talk. Like he called when he first went to Memphis Grizzlies. He called me and we was talking about him being there and being a rookie and not being able to say anything because on that level, you're nobody. You can't say anything if you're first year, right?
Right.
And I remember the frustration he had because he'd won more titles than anybody else in the room. But you still can't say anything. That's what's crazy. And I remember us having that discussion. But, you know, hindsight again, like I said, I think I want to start coaching. And I do have connections to get there. I just have to make certain moves. But my life it's been crazy how things work, man. Like, yeah. It's so crazy. That's what I say about the different route and take different paths, man, to your goal. Like, don't stop. Do you know what I mean?
That's, exactly.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that because it happened for me, and I always be like amazed, like, holy, you know, I've been blessed.
Like, you had that as your goal, but you know, mm-hmm. you couldn't necessarily see the route.
Right.
And then it just
fell into place. But I still get there, yeah, and I'm still getting there. Like, it's just, and when that door closed, somehow another opened up. It was crazy, man.
And you were ready when the opportunity arose.
Right. Yeah.
So just keep on persisting and keep on getting better, no matter what.
For sure, man. For sure.
So now that you're retired, mm-hmm. are you going to keep on playing basketball?
You know
Is
what?
Is that a dumb question?
No, Anthony, you know what? I still love it because I have to stay in shape, man. You know what? Contrary to what people might believe, man, I train. I don't eat well.
You don't?
No, man. I don't, man. And people who know me, how about this, Anthony? Anthony, I eat junk food, okay? Let's just tell the truth. And the guys that know me, they know what I eat. I love KFC. I love Chester Fried Chicken, especially Chester's from 7-Eleven. That's some good chicken. I love McDonald's. And I'll get breakfast all day and with a Coke. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't no juice. I have my breakfast and my food with Coke. You know what I mean? I'm a junk food guy, man. So I figure I have to do something to stay in shape or it won't be good for me.
How do you burn that off?
I know. I train. I still train.
Okay.
I train. I still train.
Every day sort of thing?
Sometimes I go every day. I try to take a day off because, you know, I'm an older cat and sometimes I forget that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go a little too much and my joints might be sore. But yeah, man, like I train lots. And I think it's the intensity. When people have to understand, there's something about training too. I've been training a long time and I see people that go in the gym and they be there for 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not the amount of time that you go in the gym. It's how high your intensity is within that time. So I can have high intensity within an hour and 15 minutes.
And you'll get the same
workout. And get the same result. Somebody going there for 2-3 hours.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's intensity.
They're just going around.
Yeah, they just messing around. Yeah. A lot of social butterflies. Chit-chat here, chit-chat there with their friends. You know. Right. So you obviously know they ain't too serious about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Man, okay. Because, yeah, I don't know. I personally, I just love junk food, too.
Oh, my God.
It's so hard to, like, I've tried meal plans and stuff like that, right? And it's like, it's tough, man. Bro. Yeah.
It's tough, boy. I eat it all the time.
So you don't count anything? You just eat when you're hungry?
No. Count what?
Calories and macros and
no dang old calories. What you talking?
I don't know, cause yeah, man, like that's what I recently was put on to. Like, I got to count my protein and
man, I wouldn't make it. No? If I had to count them, I failed that. I've already flunked. I would never. I wouldn't keep up with that.
All right,
not eat. I can eat anything. I eat pizza. I love pizza. I love Pizza Hut pizza. I eat a whole pizza, man. Like, it's crazy at night, and go to sleep. I've been blessed that way too. It's crazy genetics, man. I've been blessed. That's what I'm saying. Like, so many times, man, over and over, I've been blessed, man. That the way I am, I've been blessed to even be able to do what I've do and how my to eat. Like, I don't do my body well. I need to put good food in it. I'm starting on that. Anthony, okay. I have started.
Okay.
Okay. I do. I will eat some salad every now and again. Yeah. I wouldn't eat it before, so I'm taking baby steps.
All right.
Okay, so I am trying to put some good stuff inside of it instead of just junk food and fast food and Burger King and KFC. And KFC is great. Toony Tuesday is great.
I was just going to say. Oh, man, I don't know.
Hey, let's just talk about food.
two weeks ago, my girlfriend and I, we did like 4 or 5 days out of a week KFC.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Did you put hot sauce?
Yeah, of course.
So yummy. I'm gonna get some after I leave.
Yeah, every time we go there, she asks for like 10 packets, and they're like, what?
Yeah, they probably like 10 packets. Yes, they love it. They're hot sauce people. They love it. Me too. I love it.
That's so awesome, man.
Yeah, man. But like I said, I've been just blessed more than anything, Anthony. People ask me, you know, when they ask about the diet, and I'm like, no, like I could lie and say, yeah, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't do it on that.
You just work hard.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I do. I work hard.
So what's next?
We are kind of at a crossroad, Anthony.
Yeah.
Right. But something about to change. I'm going home here in the end of this month, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the first time you're going home?
Well, it's the first time I've been home in a couple of years. I didn't get to go home as much. Yeah.
Once in a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So
is your whole family there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone's there. So I'm pretty excited. I love to go home, and it's always good to go home. And if those of you who live here, it's easy when your family's here. You have no worries.
Yeah.
But to be able to see your people, to go away from that and not see that for years, you miss that, right?
Right.
My environment was different. Everything I grew up was different. Coming here is different.
I'm personally going to experience that right away. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be going to the States for like a month here.
Yeah.
And I think by the time people actually listen to this, I'll be in the States.
Right, right.
And yeah, no, I'm...
Hopefully everything goes good. They're going crazy down here right now.
Yeah. Like, I'll be in Miami and California, traveling between.
Oh, nice.
I'm working with a hypnotist that I'm working
with.
You're
in big cities, Jack.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what cities, I know Florida, right. California.
Right. That'll be exciting too.
Hopefully, my goal is to learn a lot while I'm there.
Yeah.
And
you will, because I think I see you, you're very, I think you want to learn. Then that's what I was telling you about people wanting something.
Yeah.
A lot of kids today, they don't want to listen. Anthony, they don't want to listen. They say they want to do something, but they really don't want to. But I see you as somebody that's still hungry. So I know you'll be successful. You'll do well because you're still hungry.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still nervous though. I don't know how it's going to be. I'm the video guy. Like, usually I'm the guy going on stage.
Right.
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 And mm-hmm. I record myself with the cameras and whatever. But now I'm going to be, so it's a whole different world. Yeah,
that's okay. You ready for that?
I guess so. But my goal, you know, to learn a lot from that guy.
Right.
Bring it back to Canada and then crush Canada.
There you go, man.
With that knowledge, so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's heavy. That's all right.
So, you're going to stay with basketball going forward? Like,
yeah,
what does retirement mean exactly? Well,
retirement, when they say retirement, that means I'm done with the FIBA 3x3 thing. I'm not going to do the competitive thing, the competing. But do I still play? Yes. And they're coming here doing a Taste of Saskatchewan. And I would like to play in the open division. There's an open division too. And then there's the FIBA 3x3. Okay. So I would like to play in the open division because I still love it, man.
Yeah.
I still love it. I love the game.
And if you'd play like one game here and there, it's not going to be as hard on your body.
Yeah, man, my joints is good like that.
Because it's a 10-minute game, right?
Oh, the games, I know. But a 10-minute game in FIBA is equivalent to a 48-minute game.
Right.
Do you understand? Except it's condensed. You're sprinting. Oh, my goodness. That's like, you have to be in great shape, brother, to do this thing. Like this, like, you can just say you want to do it, but you have to understand there's a whole lot of work to getting in shape part, because you have a 10 second shot clock. I mean, 12 second shot clock.
Really?
Yeah, it's a 12 second shot clock. So it's not like your old, you know, possession, change possession 3-on-3 type thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the clock is running. The clock doesn't stop unless there's a loose ball or there's a foul. Do you know what I mean? And the games are so quick and intense, and the game's never over, even if you're down, because we've been in a few games where we were down at the beginning, in the first, say, 2-3 minutes, down by 10. And you can still come back and win the games, because shooting twos is very important, and intensity, and being able, like, it's so many things, man. It's not just going out and playing.
Right.
That's what people have to understand. There's a strategy behind all of it.
Right. And do you run plays and stuff?
Of course we do, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You have to. Yeah, okay. You have to. You have to be able to execute. And then you would think, if 3-on-3 yet? Yeah. It's not just 1-on-1. So that's why it doesn't allow for guys to be completely athletic and just allow you to do 1-on-1 stuff. It doesn't. You can't do that in this game. First off, you're playing on a sport court, which it slips. So it's kind of slippery sometimes. So your athleticism and your speed is kind of negated a little bit by the court.
Right. Okay.
So you got to use something else, man. You got to set screens. You got to call plays. You got to back. You know, just different things you have to do. You can't rely on just the athleticism alone to win. You'll never win.
Right.
You won't win like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
so intense. So intense.
So it comes down to skill and also just being able to outrun the other team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is what we realized, Mike Chooch and I realized this. We was thinking, in every game, the last 3 minutes
everyone usually hits the wall. So the team that's in better shape at the last 3 minutes, they still go. So if you're in good shape, you'll be able to see what happened when you get down to the last 3 minutes of the game. And it's been proven every time the other teams usually falter because they just get tired.
Yep.
And we end up winning the game. And we just come back. Yeah. And we always knew that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man. Tell me about your hardest game.
My hardest game. I think the hardest game.
Like mentally and physically.
Okay. I think I'm going to come up with
yeah.
mentally and physically the toughest one. I think Novi Sad in the 3x3. We played Novi Sad in the finals.
Okay.
And we were a good team, man. We're very good. But that was our first time really understanding how to play. We knew we could play, but there was things that we didn't know about the game until we played Novi Sad and the things they were doing. I'm thinking, okay, this guy is not even that quick. There's no way he's getting to the basket, but he's still getting to the basket. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That type of stuff.
Okay.
You know. So it was different, man. And to lose that game and the struggle, I was devastated, man. I think I couldn't even eat after that, man. And I couldn't even eat. I don't think Chooch, neither one of us could eat after that game. I think we just sat outside and just talked. That's what he and I always do. We just talk about things, man.
Talk about the game.
Oh, yeah. We talk about the game. Yeah. Then we might go look back.
Yeah. Do you watch your tapes? And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because you analyze everything.
Right? Oh, yeah. And how about this? When you watch the tape, that's why it's good to watch tape. You can see all of the things that you're not doing, but you may think that you're doing.
Right. Because in the heat of
tape, don't lie. Yeah. That's why I think filming is big, man, especially for kids, for younger kids, so they can see. Because a lot of them are so hard-headed. If you tell them something, oh, that's what I did. I did this. I always do this. I did block out. I did rebound. I did run the floor. That's how kids are. Mm-hmm. So then you just show them the video. You sure you was running the court, you said? Oh, look at you. Didn't even jump on that one. That's what my coach did to me in high school. And when we watch film, he singled you out. Everybody in there, it doesn't matter. He didn't discriminate. I thought I was the great defender. You never catch me on tape. Guess what? I was on there too, not jumping. And he pointed me out. You know what I mean? So stuff like that I'm just used to, man. Not only pointed me out, he pointed everybody else. He held everybody accountable so they could see themselves. Like, it's, you know, it was like I said, I just grew up different, Anthony.
So
grew up different, man.
Do you think your next stage is going to be coaching?
I think so.
Yeah.
Anthony, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, brother.
Because, yeah, I feel like you can teach a lot of people.
Yes, I love it.
And you can improve a lot of kids' basketball games.
Brother, don't you know I love it? I love it. You know what I love? I love when I go to a basketball camp and there's a kid that has never been there and kind of shy, don't know anything, and then I go over and we start talking and I show them, but they're eager to learn. Man, do you know how excited? If anybody knows me at games, like, because I coach minor league basketball, too,
yeah,
for a long time, too. I get so excited for them. You have no idea. When to see them perform and put an effort and just the run and good. Oh, God forbid they score a bucket and they've never scored yet. Oh, my goodness. I celebrate with them. I get so excited, man. I'd be on the court. Like, the referees have to tell me, get off the court. I'm so into it. I'm so happy for them, man.
That's
awesome. I love it, man. I love it. I love it.
Awesome.
I love seeing it.
And that's a natural progression for you.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So exciting. Yeah.
Man, I can't wait to see some of the teams that you produce. It's going to be so.
Hey, you know what? I'll go back. I'll tell you another story, Anthony. I'll cut it short there. When I started coaching at White Buffalo years ago, me and Mike Tent started coaching a White Buffalo team. They had never played in the SNBA at all. Okay.
Yeah.
Ever. So we started coaching in 1 year. The first year we struggled with getting our butts kicked, you know, but the boys would be at the gym every day practicing. Every evening, they loved it. They didn't miss practice, okay? Practicing every day, they were hungry, okay? By the time we get to the end of the season from White Buffalo, we became that team that was always getting our butts kicked to the team that was winning. And for the next 2 years, we was kicking everybody's butt, man. Just from practicing every day and hard. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and these from kids that didn't even play now. They never played organized, but just Mike and I, Mike Tant and I coaching them, man. And we watched them grow into basketball players, brother. Like, it was awesome to see, and to see the success that they had. And I know that felt good for them because I was excited for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's exciting, man. Yeah. That it was awesome. Good, man. Yeah. I love watching kids, man, just get better, boy. It's so exciting for me. Like,
nice.
I don't think people quite understand my enthusiasm and passion. Some may take it differently, but if you're on my team, if you ever played for me, and this is something else I'll say too, because I'm old school, so I yell from the bench. So people may think that I'm yelling at my kids, but the parents on my team and the kids know, they know what it's about. Yeah. But others around always think it's just me yelling because that's not how they do things here.
You know, right.
You have to be quiet. To that. No, mm-hmm. no. You have to be quiet and you don't say nothing. And then what you do is you wait till after the first quarter and then you let them know what they did. And guess what? They won't even remember what the hell they did. Anthony, that's why you have to do it on the court.
Right.
I fix what's happening. I try to help fix what's happening right then. Not wait till later.
Immediately.
Why would I ask them later? They won't remember.
Yeah.
Don't forget the rebound. So that's what people hear. But my kids are so excited and they're so intense and they love playing for me, man. Like, they love playing for me. Never have problem with parents because of how I am, man. Like, I love it. And I love to see them be successful. It's exciting. I love it, man. Like, yeah, I'm very passionate, man. I love it.
Yeah, man. And all your passion comes out in everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see.
Yeah.
So, coaching's next.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
what you got?
What else is there? You know, like, do you think you'll?
Peace. What do you think? What, you know what? I can't say where my I know what my dream is. I still have it. That's what I say.
And what's your dream?
To be on that NBA team coaching now. Okay. Or anything with any organization, right. Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have to leave Saskatoon. It'll never happen here.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's all.
Maybe Toronto. Do you have like a?
I'll probably go to the States for sure. The States.
Yeah.
Because basketball, like I say, it's almost like a family. Because once you play in professional basketball, it's like anything else. All those guys, all those coaches, either some go coaching, you know what I mean? So then you make those connections and you start connecting with people. And being away from basketball and being here, I've lost a lot of connections.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Saskatoon is
small.
Yeah. And it's kind of nowhere compared to that. So I lost all kind of contact with a lot of people in basketball where if I was there, I would have been coaching a long time ago, brother.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So we say that. Like,
but now, you know, you're coaching people here. You're going to bring that with you.
Yeah. For sure, man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the next 5 years? What do you think that has in store for you? Because you're 47?
I'm 47. I'll be 48 in August.
So you'll be 52.
Yeah.
What do you think you'll be doing when you're 52?
I don't even know. I'm still playing basketball. I can't pick up. I don't know. Maybe I'll be... Oh, man, that's heavy.
I know.
Hopefully, I'll be coaching. Coach. I'm going to be there. I'll be coaching somewhere for sure. And I think I'll probably still be playing. I'll probably still be training.
Good.
Because I have to. I have to if I'm going to eat that way, remember? But I'm working on it. I have to.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. You now and you 5 years ago, what's the biggest change in mentality-wise?
A little more controlled.
More controlled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like in what way?
I don't let things get to me as much here in Saskatoon. I don't know. As far as we're talking about basketball, before I used to let things get to me because there's been bad stuff that happened here through basketball. Where 5 years ago I'd be so upset and so devastated. Where now I know that's just the way they are. And if anyone listened to this, they know exactly what I mean when I say that's just the way they are here in basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. We leave it at that, brother.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to imagine like a hypothetical situation.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine that a hypnotist,
right?
Not myself,
right?
But
don't try to hypnotize me.
No, I'm not.
Make me do something up here now. Like do some crazy stuff up here. Like, all right.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
It's more just I want you to imagine that somebody, an evil hypnotist, my arch enemy somewhere in the world,
okay,
somehow for some reason. He heard this podcast and he's like, okay, I'm going to erase the memory of Willie from everybody he's ever been in contact with. He's going to erase their minds.
Right.
So now what you have the opportunity to do now
right.
to counteract that is to create something that when a person that you've been in contact with either sees, reads it,
right.
hears it, watches it,
right.
maybe it's a movie, a TV show, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But whatever you create instantly reminds everybody, and then it counteracts that
right.
evil hypnosis.
Yeah.
What would you do? Like, what would you create?
Wow, Anthony, come on.
And it has to encapsulate all of who you are. Like,
wow. You know what? I think that it'd have to be doing something, watching kids be successful somehow, the way they can carry that on. So it'd always be somebody who knows what.
Right. Okay.
What I have achieved.
Yeah.
Or what I have helped them to achieve.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does a bit.
How do you want me to go deeper?
Yeah. Like, okay, how about this then? How about, can I ask you to share us a story?
Oh.
Your favorite story from any point in time of your life.
Okay.
And this story, I guess the moral of it just screams your personality. This is really.
Okay. Story. Give me a couple seconds, Anthony.
Yeah, no problem.
I have lots. I can't believe they're going blank on me now, though, but I have lots that would sum me up. I think it would be me in the gym when I was younger and I had boots on. And those who do know me, I was playing in Timberlands. I ended up playing in a basketball game in the Timberland boots. Timberland. Yes, I did. Yes, I did, Anthony.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. And like I said, people who know who were there, they know. So I think that would be, and they would assume that would be something that he would do. That's him for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you wearing them now?
No, not the boots today. I got the old cons on right now. Okay. I'm probably going to hit the gym after this.
Right on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to leave behind like a book that you've read, a movie that you've watched, a TV show, and this piece of media teaches your future kids an important lesson, what would you make them watch, read, or listen to? What would you make sure that they learn? Yeah,
I would make sure that they learn and understand perseverance.
Perseverance.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a movie, maybe an album or something?
You know what? I thought of a movie. I thought a movie, an old movie, like I thought a movie called The Five Heartbeats. It was about a bunch of black singers that came up. That one was the 60s maybe. And they started singing in the road, in the path they took, and how one of them ended up became an alcoholic. And the guys had to kick him out of the group, so he was kicked out of the group. But that one guy, Eddie Kane, end up finding himself and stay connected with one of the guys and end up becoming sober and, you know, join AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think that would be a good story to see how things can easily change for you.
Right.
If you make decisions, right. bad decisions.
Right.
And choices.
Right. And how easily you can fall down that.
Yes, sir.
That downward spiral.
Yes, sir. But guess what? The good thing is you can always
change it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm definitely going to have to watch that. What's it called?
One more time? Five Heartbeats.
The Five Heartbeats.
It's amazing. You'll love it. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Very good. Very good music, too.
Yeah?
Very spiritual music. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite type of music?
Me? I think I'm old school, Anthony. Remember now, I'm 48. So yeah. I'm still like Boys to Men stuff and Joe. I like R&B stuff. You know, I'm not with all this new hippity hop too much. Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't.
So that's what you listen to when you're... Yeah. When you're working out?
Yeah, I listen to gospel, actually.
I have gospel too. Yeah, I throw that in there. Yeah, that gives me real more. When people see me, if that's what I'm doing, that's what I'm listening to. When they wonder, I'm like, yeah, man, that keeps me motivated.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Is there anything that you wanted to touch on that we haven't gone over yet?
You know what? I think I want to touch on it. Just, I've been here a long time in Saskatoon, and I wanted to at least help, because I've been here. Why not be here if I can help teach the kids here in Saskatoon about the game of basketball? And it's, and unfortunately, there's Saskatoon style basketball, and then there's the other basketball. So I want to try to let kids understand that there's nothing wrong with playing pickup basketball. There's nothing wrong with that. You can get better out of that. It's okay to go play in different areas and different people of different races. It's okay to do that, so you can understand and learn different things. It's like, don't just stay in your own side and think it's just like this. Venture out, go travel, play different courts. Do you know what I mean? See other people, man. I think that in Saskatoon, they need to do that, because, like I say, we here, it's like they call it, it's our basketball, and then it's their basketball, which it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way, because I wanted everyone to be under the same thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even though I teach different, or the way I play is different because you're not used to it, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
Don't make it out there's something wrong with that because this guy doesn't do what we do. So therefore, you know, don't learn that way, you know, because then kids will be missing out, because I want to help lots of kids that's been here, but they would never connect with me because of what was said here. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And that's unfortunate, you know, because I had lots and I love to teach, and it's, and it would have been free. I wouldn't even charge nothing for it. How about that?
Really?
Yeah.
So how does, you're still doing that, right?
Yeah, sometimes I help out a little bit, Anthony. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I'm still here.
But if there was a kid listening or a parent listening right now, and their kid wants to learn from you,
right?
How would they go about doing that?
Okay, see, that's just the thing. Now, when we say learn, I can, because I thought about doing the player development thing, but again, everyone has to understand how I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
If you're hungry for what I have, then you'd come to me. But don't come to me if you're not hungry, because I'm gonna give you only the food. Do you understand? I'm gonna give you the good stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Right. And it's up to them to do the other half.
Like, I'm gonna push you. You know, I'm gonna push you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm gonna push you. That's the thing you have to understand too. So it's just, I'm gonna push you. I'm that guy. Like, I'm that guy. I'd be that trainer in the gym. I'm going to push you a little bit, but I'm going to also praise you as well. Do you understand?
Exactly.
I'm going to praise you for sure, man. There's no doubt about that. But just make sure that's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the best way, rather, for people to find you?
Probably on Facebook.
Facebook?
Hit me up. Yeah. Okay. Messenger. You know, send me a message if you know, if anyone hears this message and that's what they really want. Because like I said, I feel I've played many, many years, and I feel I have a knowledge of the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And can you spell out your, do you have a Facebook?
Just Willie Murdoch. Yeah. No. Okay. No, just no, look me up. Yeah. No special. Yeah. Not yet. Okay. So you just look me up on Messenger or whatever. Cool. Send me a.
Right on.
Yeah.
So that's your personal one, right?
The
one
that we
communicate
to. Yeah. Because I haven't really started, you know.
Yeah.
Organize anything yet.
Fair enough. Okay. I will make sure to put that info into the show notes for this episode.
Sure, right.
So that, and I'll do a little summary of this episode
for people. Good.
And yeah, I'm not 100% certain if this will be out within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, brother, that's okay.
But it's, like I said, since I'm leaving, I want to make sure that I interview and speak and learn from tons of people.
Right, right.
So that way, like, I don't know how long I'll be gone
right, because you'd be
getting this going.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Do you have any advice for me while I'm down there? Like,
don't get frustrated.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
No peer pressure.
Yeah. Don't get frustrated.
And
no
peer pressure. Time and don't for quit. You to go on the court. You go.
Yeah. Take your ass out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I will definitely do that, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All right. Willie. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah.
Man, I've learned so much. Like, this is the only reason, one of the only reasons that I do this mm-hmm. is because I get to learn from people.
Right.
And the lessons that people mm-hmm. like yourself, inspiring people, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get to learn and mm-hmm. and get better myself first. So mm-hmm. it's a little selfish, mm-hmm. selfish, mm-hmm. but people who listen to this, mm-hmm. my goal is that they learn alongside myself. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much today. Mm-hmm. You're such an inspiring guy. It's just proof that, you know, if you set an intention in your life,
yes,
you know, it'll happen.
Yes, sir. Yeah. For sure.
Like that, the path that you took is just incredible.
I still laugh about it, Anthony. It's crazy, brother.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Okay, well, thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it, bro.
For sure.
Thank you.
There you have it, folks. That was the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please like or comment on your favorite social platform and help this get out to more people and help me grow this podcast and help affect more people's lives. That's what it's all about, really. So again, thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you, Willie, for just giving so much knowledge to me. I've been using it, man. I've been using it while I've been down here in the States, and awesome. Anyways, once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. This was episode 49. So you can find the show notes at hadlen.com/CMC049. That's hadlen.com/CMC049. All right, guys, until next time, remember, work as hard as you can every single day towards your goals.